The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Baalei Sechor. However, on the shiur before Shavuos, we said on the Mishnah, which is the first Mishnah in the sixth parak of Masecht Ovis, Remeya Eimer. And last week we continued it, and I would like to conclude that Mishnah this week. The Mishnah states, Remeya Eimer kola isik b'teira lishmo, whoever studies Torah lishmo for the sake of learning Torah itself, not for the sake of honor, not for ulterior motives of to gain wealth, or other such ulterior motives, but for the sake of Torah itself, for the sake of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's law, of to know it in order to put it into practice or to teach to others, Zeche L'dvorim Harbe, he will merit many, many things. He will merit many physical brachas in this world. And not only that, the entire world is indebted to him. Nikra Reya Ohuv, he is called a friend and beloved of the Almighty and of people. Eivas Amokum, Eivas Abrius. He is a lover of the Almighty, he is a lover of the people. Misameaches Amokum, Misameaches Abrius. He brings rejoicing to the Almighty, and he brings joy to the people. Umalbashta Yanova Viyira. And he is clothed and garmented in humility and fear of the Lord. Umakshate Leisadik. And it perfects him and prepares him to become a tzaddik. That's one level of righteousness. Chosid, another level of righteousness. Yoshar, someone who is perfectly upright. Benemon, and someone who is totally faithful. Umarachakte minachet, and it will distance him from sin. Umekarate lideshus, and it will bring him close to virtue. Venayanin mimeno eitzavetushia, bino ugvura, and people will benefit from him and enjoy from him wise counsel, wisdom, strength. Shnemar, as it states, the Torah says, Li Eitzavitushua, that to me belongs the counsel, Ani Bino, I am wisdom, Li Gvura, and to me is strength. Veneshenes Le Malchus Emem Sholo, it will give him kingship and sovereignty. Vechiko Din, the depthness, it will give him depthness of the law. Umegarlin Lairoze Tera, the secrets of Torah will be revealed to him. Venasi Kimayin Hamizgaber, Ukinohar Shaina Pesik, and he will become like a spring which is forever becoming stronger, and like a river that never ceases. Vevitsonua, and he will be a private, concealed type of person. Veerech Ruach, long tempered, Umeichel Al Elbeine, forever forgiving on insults. Umegadalte, umeramamte al kol amasim, and the Torah will uplift him and make him great over all things. Now, this is the entire Mishnah that we read. As I mentioned, we gave two shurim on this already, and I would like to give the third now and conclude this evening. And that is, we have learned up to where the Mishnah says, Nesenis lei malchus emem shola. The Torah will give him kingship and sovereignty. Now, what this means is that when a person gives himself entirely over to Torah, then he comes to the level of Torah. And he becomes identified with these virtues of Torah. And Torah is a melech. Torah is a king. A king is someone that stands out and stands above the nation. He is an individual and above and separated from the people. And this is what Torah is. And because of that, so people fear a king. As it states many times, that you shall place a king over you and you shall fear him. People have respect for a king. And this is the virtue of Torah. And someone who gives himself over to Torah will receive this virtue. And he will be like a king. The Gemara says in Masechta Gittin, of Samach Beis Omer Aleph, Man Malke Drabonim. Who are the kings? The kings are the Talmidei Chachomim. The wise, those who are wise in Torah. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Psochim, Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, that you shall fear Hashem. And it uses the word Es, which means that you shall fear Hashem and someone else also. Who else should you share the fear of Hashem with? You shall fear Hashem, Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, L'Rabbi Ish Talmidei Chachomim, to include also Talmidei Chachomim. Those who reach the level, the true level of Torah, so we're obligated also to have a fear from them, a fear and a respect, because they are like kings. And it's interesting that in the human being, the Almighty created man, Ofer min Adama, dust from the earth, and he gave him a soul, and he gave him a seichel, he gave him the intellect. And the way he created man is that this intellect, this seichel, is supposed to be the king over him. What should rule man? Seichel, his intellect, is the king. His soul is the king. Not all of the time is it like that. Many times people are ruled by their desires. They do not what their seichel, what their intellect tells them to do. And they do what they want to do, not what they realize is right to do. But the order that Hashem made a person in is that the seichel, the intellect, and the soul of the man, he is the king. And the body is subjected to him. And so is it in the world, the Torah is the king. And the physical world is supposed to listen to the Torah. Torah is supposed to map out the direction. And so is it for someone who comes into this level, someone who comes to a level of Torah. So he also zeicher lemalchus, he becomes a melech, and memsholo. Memsholo, meishol, this is someone who decrees and people listen. Just like the intellect is supposed to decree and the body is supposed to listen. So this is how we're supposed to listen to those who are the Talmidei Chachomim. So this is what is meant, that v'neisenesloi malchus u'memsholo, that he will reach the level of kingship and sovereignty. Then it states, v'neisnin lai chikor hadin, he will be given the understanding of din. Now din means the law. Law means how to render hayra, pshat halacha, legal decisions. Now this is different. We could ask a question. If a person studies Torah and he learns Torah and is given wisdom, so then it is understood that he will be given chikar adin, how to render legal decisions. Not necessarily so, because Torah is the wisdom, but the deen is how to apply this wisdom to everyday cases which constantly change, which are constantly different, each one in accordance to what has taken place. See, many times we'll learn a Mishnah, we'll learn Gemara, and we will understand exactly what the Mishnah or the Gemara says. But then someone will ask us a shaila, a question on something that took place, and we're stumped. Because every practical question is different. Because the question is lefi ha'me'ura, the question is in accordance to a particular episode that took place. And every episode that takes place is different. This is in accordance to the physical circumstances. So not everyone that has wisdom of Torah can apply it to the ever-changing circumstances of the world. So here a mayor is telling us that kol alemet hera lishma, some those who learn Torah for their own sake and they give their life to Torah, they will not only have the wisdom of the Torah, but the chikor hadin, know how to apply it to the depths of the law. This is something which is very deep. because the Torah itself states "Vahamishpat lelakimhu," the judgment. This belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to judge cases between people, there's something which is very deep. And the Gemara tells us in Psochim Anafnu Nalad Amad Beis, it states Zayin Dvorim Mechusim Mimnei Odom. There are seven things which are concealed from a person. Ve'echod Mehem Emekadin. And one of this is the depth of the law. See, the depth of the practical application of the law. So this is something which is very deep and very concealed. And therefore, it's possible for a person to study the wisdom of the Torah theoretically and be taught this by his Rebbe and understand it, but still not have the level of deen where he can apply it to judgment between man and his fellow man and so forth. And therefore, Rebbe Meir says that someone who studies Torah Lishma will come to Chikor HaDin, where he will also have the understand the depth of the Mishpat. There's another interpretation, and that is he will be given wisdom how to judge questions brought before him in accordance to the truth of the Torah. For example, the Tanakh tells us that Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, had enormous wisdom, where he was able, see, a judge not only has to be able to know the law, but he also has to be able to come to the ultimate truth of the dispute that's before him. Many times, many judges might know the law, but there's a dispute between of two people in front of them, and someone is lying, and what good will it do if you know the law, but these people are not telling the truth, and you don't know who's lying and who's telling the truth? But Tanakh tells us that Shlomo HaMelech was given wisdom, where whenever he had to judge a case, he could come to the ultimate truth. He knew how to see through all of the confusion and all of the smokescreen and all of the lies that people try to mislead other people with. This is the famous case that's brought in Tanakh, when two mothers came to Shlomo HaMelech, and they had a whole dispute over a baby. Who did the baby belong to? One said it was her baby, the other one said it was hers. And Shlomo HaMelech said, all right. He says, well, he took a sword, he ordered a sword to be brought, and said, we'll cut it in half, and we'll give each one half. And one woman said, no. She said, it's hers, give it to her. So King Solomon said, it belongs to you. Because the other one that was allowing the baby to be cut in half, that's a proof she was lying. She would not allow her own baby to be put to death. Now, unfortunately, when we're faced with deen, how to resolve a dispute, it's not only a question of knowing the Torah knowledge, it's not only a question of applying it, but it's a question of trying to unravel a smokescreen of confusion and lies that will be put before you. So this also is a special wisdom. And it's not says this wisdom was given to Shlomo HaMelech. This wisdom was given to great judges, where they knew, it states in the Torah, V'dorashta v'chokarta heitev, that the judges have to ask and analyze and interrogate properly to make sure that the deen, that the judgment comes out emes lamite, perfectly true. So this also is an interpretation in Chikor HaDin, the Chokarta, that they will be given someone who gives himself over to Torah, say he will be given not only the wisdom of the theoretical wisdom of the Torah, but also the wisdom of being able to perceive what people are saying, and from there he can learn what is the truth and what is not the truth. Then it states that v'nasik imayin hamizgaber v'no'or sheina pesik. He will become like a spring which is forever stronger, and like a river that never ceases. What is the difference between a spring that forever becomes stronger and a river that never ceases? So the Maral says as follows. a spring that is ever stronger. This means that it has a source, a deep, deep source that is never ending. See, many times you come, it's a wonder, you come to a someplace in the ground or in the mountain, and you'll see water coming out of the ground, and it flows and flows and flows. It comes and comes and never stops. Never stops. You turn on the tap and you leave the water run, but eventually it's going to stop. And this never stops. So this means it's coming from a deep source that's never ending. That's a Mayan Hamish Gaber. It's coming from a never ending source and therefore always strengthening. This is one dimension in Torah. A person studies Torah, becomes wise in Torah, and Torah becomes a never ending source of wisdom for him. If he wants to bring a proof and a source to something that he is saying, he will be able to go deeper and bring a proof and a source for that source. Then he will be able to go deeper and bring a source and proof for that source. And then even a source and a proof for the other sources and proofs. Constantly going deeper and deeper and deeper. Just like a spring, the strength of the spring is in its mokar, is in the source that it's coming from. And if it never ends, this means that it's coming from a source that is endless, so is it with Torah. The Torah has a source that's endless because it's bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is the possibility of a person delving in deeper and deeper and deeper. When we learn secular wisdoms, there's only so deep you can go. There's an end. Many times, unfortunately, many people learn Torah with a shallowness. But Torah has a never-ending depth. It was always said over from the Vilna Gaon that he would always ask his students, his Talmidim, that every time they look at something, they must see a new depth in it. Something that was not there before. And this is always possible. A fuller understanding and a new dimension in it. And it's not where a person learns and he says, I didn't understand this properly before, now I understand it properly. No. Now you understand it more. The next time you learn it, you should understand it even more. And the next time, even more. This is a dimension of wisdom in Torah. So therefore it becomes like a Mayin HaMisgaber, like a spring where you can never come to its source. Its source is endless, and therefore it's forever flowing. So with Torah, there's forever more depth, and more depth, and more depth, even to this depth. Then there's another dimension, a Nor Shein HaPesek, a river that does not cease. A river that does not cease, a river that constantly flows, is because as it flows, and it becomes wider, more tributaries join up with it. See, a river as it flows down the mountain, if you watch a river coming from a mountain, you'll see it starts from one point, and then two or three little streams will flow into it. Then more will flow in, and it becomes a whole network of all kinds of streams coming to this, and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And therefore it's a Nor Shein HaPesek, it never ceases because it has so many different streams coming into it where it constantly becomes bigger. So Torah has this dimension also, that a person can say something and he can bring a proof to it, and he'll be able to bring endless proofs, not necessarily in further depth, but endless proofs from all over, collected from all over without end. Just like a river collects water as it goes from many, many different sources, never ending. So this is another dimension in the wisdom of Torah. So there's a wisdom in Torah in depth that a person will be able to go deeper and deeper and deeper endlessly.
And then there's the mention of in Torah and breath, where a person will be able to broaden his knowledge in Torah, where it becomes constantly broader and broader, like a Na'orishe and a Pesik, like a river that becomes broader and broader as it goes, because more water from all different sources pour into it. So these are the two dimensions in the wisdom that a Talmud Chochem, that someone that studies Torah Lishma, will come to. Then the Remeir says, "V'havitzanua." He will become a tzanua means a concealed type of person, a private type of person. This is something very important. We find that there's a pasuk that states, "V'latznuim chochma." Latznuim chochma. That to the modest, to the private people, they will merit wisdom. And here we find also that someone who studies Torah will become a private person. So we see that a midah, a character trait that a person has to have in order to come to Chochmas HaTorah is that of snius. Snius means behalten. A reserved, a concealed, private type of person. And if a person comes to Torah, then the Torah will give him that trait. Behavitznua, he will become this type of person. He needs to receive Torah, and Torah will give it to him more. Now, why is this? This is very important. Torah is sanua. Torah is concealed. When you learn Torah, its wisdom is not so revealed. You have to work at it, you have to study, you have to go into great depth, and then the mysteries of the Torah start to reveal itself. Torah itself is concealed. And this is a trait in the essence of Torah. And therefore, for a person to be able to unlock the secrets of Torah, he has to also be that type of person. And the more Torah he learns, the more of this type of person he'll become. And why is this? Because we have two worlds. There's a physical world, and then there's a spiritual world. The physical world is this world, and that's known as the Olam HaGolui. That's a revealed world. The spiritual world is concealed. In the physical world, everything is revealed. You can see everything. The spiritual world, everything is concealed. And Torah doesn't come from this world, it comes from the Olam HaElyon, from the spiritual world. And therefore its very nature is that of being concealed. Anything that comes from those worlds is very concealed. For example, the neshama, the soul, the physical body of the person is revealed. But the soul, because it came from the earth, but the soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the person is so concealed it cannot be found. There were great scientists who said that they've searched the body from one end to the other, and they have found no trace of a soul. They're telling the truth. You cannot find any trace of the soul. It is totally concealed, because it's from a different world, a concealed world. But the brain they can find, the heart they can find, because it comes from the physical world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally concealed. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, it says, Yeshev b'seser elyon. He dwells on high in secrecy. And this is why by anything that's kadosh, we find concealed. Even in the physical world, the more precious something is, it becomes concealed. For example, stones are on top of the earth. But precious stones, if you want diamonds, if you want gold, you have to go thousands and thousands of feet into the earth. If you want pearls, you have to dive deep into the seas. So even in the physical level, we find this. But the spiritual world is totally concealed. And this is why when it came to Kedusha, for example, The Sefer Torah was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the most holy parts of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was not only the most holy parts, it was the most inner parts. It was in a concealed part. And no one was allowed to go in there except the Kohen Gadol and on Yom Kippur. So therefore, when we're dealing with something that has to do from the spiritual world, this is Beseser, this is concealed. And certainly the wisdom of Torah, it's concealed. And therefore, a person who wants to be zeicher to that, he wants to merit that wisdom, states falatznuim chokhmah. He's going to have to be that type of person. And the closer, the greater he'll come in Torah, so his nature will become more tzanua. So therefore it states, v'havi tzanua, he will become a tzanua. And this means a person who is a very private individual, he's quiet, the opposite of being very flamboyant and loud. See, a person who's loud, that's bigolui. Actually, the whole power of dibor, of speech, is to take what is concealed and bring it, reveal it into the world. Because the machshava, the thoughts, are totally concealed. So dibor is to take what is concealed and reveal it into the world. Now dibor is important. It's very important for our world. And we have to reveal things and we have to communicate. And when we teach Torah, we have to do that. But, on the other hand though, if a person is too talkative, too loud, too much always begolui, that's the opposite of tznius. Tznius sonua means that he is more of a concealed nature. Now we find that this was a nature of Yisrael. This was a nature of Klal Yisrael. The Moshe Rabbeinu became very upset. These sages, the Torah brings, the Chazal bring. When he saw an Egyptian beating a fellow Jew, a fellow Ivri, and he became angry and he killed the Egyptian. And then he buried him. And then the next day he came out and they said, and two Jews were fighting, Dos and Baviram, and he tried to break up the fight, and they said, will you kill us like you killed him? And Moshe realized that someone saw him, a Jew saw him do it, and said this to someone else. Moshe was very, very upset. And he said, Dalturium. He says, Jews can't keep secrets. And this affected Moshe very deeply. So deeply that he said that I always wondered why Klal Yisrael should be suffering so much by the hands of the Egyptian. I couldn't understand how this nation could be suffering. Now I understand. When he saw they couldn't keep a secret. That's something that they were supposed to keep their mouths shut. And they couldn't do that. He held this as... Now, so what was the Aveira? So one Jew told another Jew. They didn't go tell the Egyptians. He held this was not the nature of Israel. This was a pchisus. This was a tremendous movement, tremendous shortcomings in a Jew. A Jew can't keep his mouth closed when it should be. A Jew talks when he shouldn't talk. He reveals what he shouldn't reveal. Well, this is not the nature of Israel. And it upset him so much to the point where he said, now I understand why they're enslaved in Egypt. This is how much it upset him. But why? Because this is a quality just contrary to the Torah. People who are very low level, and their level is not that much high off of the earth. So by them it's common that everything that they think, they say, and they say everything, and they talk everything, and reveal everything. But Israel is supposed to be striving for the levels of Torah, which is a spiritual world, That's an Olam HaSeser. It's supposed to have a different quality. This is what Snius is. So this is just the opposite when it comes to, unfortunately, see, Machlekes, open strife, this is the opposite. Loshon Hara, this is the total opposite. Gossip, or Rechilus, or just tail-bearing, this is total opposite, totally opposite to the quality of Torah. So that's why it says, V'latznuim Chochma, who will be Zeche to Chochma Satorah? Those who are Sonua. And someone who will come to the level of Torah, the heavy tzanua, it will bring him more tznius. Then it states, actually I skipped one here. I skipped Umagalin Leroze Torah. And this is hand in hand. The Torah will reveal her secrets to the person. The Gemara says that there is no Torah without labor. If a person tells you, Yogato, Le Yogato Matsoso Al Tamin, that I didn't labor and I was successful in Torah, don't believe him. There is no Torah without labor. But even when one will labor in Torah, the Gemara says, to be zeche, to true Torah, you'll have to have siyata d'shmaya. You'll have to have the help of heaven. And why is this? Because Torah does not give herself over to everyone. Says Torah is very jealous. It's like a jealous wife, a jealous woman, and will give herself over only to someone who's totally faithful to her. So the Torah will come and reveal her secrets to he who is totally faithful to her. Megalin Leroze Torah. So therefore, someone who learns Torah Lishma, it's brought that someone who is only partially dedicated to Torah, he will learn Torah sometimes, and then other times he'll decide that he wants to do other things, even though he has the opportunity to study Torah. So he'll study other things, or he'll entertain himself in other ways. Right, this is all right, but the Torah is not happy with that. The Torah becomes very jealous. And in that, the Torah says the Torah will not give herself over. But someone who gives his entire dedication over to Torah, every opportunity that the person has, his earnest desire is to give himself to Torah, then Torah will give herself to him. Umegalin leirozei Torah, and she will reveal her secrets to him. This is how people became great in Torah, not only through their own efforts. It was through their efforts, because without labor there will be no Torah. But once they succeeded in that, the Torah came and revealed all types of secrets to them. States that a person can learn in one place in Torah and he will understand another place in Torah. The Torah will come and reveal its secrets. And this is what it's when we see a wise person in Torah, Hareya Mechachme Yisrael, it states that the brocha that we make on this person is Asher Cholak Mechochmosei Lirei Ov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has imparted from his wisdom to those who fear him. When it comes to secular wisdoms, that can be given to everyone. But when it comes to Torah wisdoms, that's given only to those who fear Hashem and give themselves over to him with total dedication. So therefore, Megalin Leirazei Torah, that the Torah will turn around and reveal her secrets to him. This should have been said before, right before where we brought him being a strong spring and a never-ending river. Then it states the Erach Ruach. Erach Ruach, he will become a person who is long patient. He will not be short-tempered. In Yiddish, this is called gedult. A person is supposed to have gedult. Gedult means strength to control and contain his temper. See, many, many times we react too quickly. We're too short-tempered. Something happens, we give a shrai immediately and so forth. And this is not the quality of Torah. This is not the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Yud Gimel Midas, in the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says Erech HaPayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not reactionary. He controls his temper. He is long-tempered. And this is a quality that a human being has to strive for. But more than that, this is a quality of Torah. And someone who is a balkas, he angers quickly and cannot control his temper, he will not be zeichet to Torah. And someone who comes to Torah will have this quality of being long-tempered. Where do we see this? We see this in the Torah itself, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came to the highest levels of Torah possible. Yet we see that three times he became angry, and you can imagine, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get angry over anything. Three times he became angry, and they were very, very justified situations. And it states that each time he became angry, he forgot the halacha, nisam v'men halacha. When they came and they asked him a shaila, he couldn't answer. He had to have others answer for him. Three times in the Torah he became angry, and three times he forgot halachas. So from here we see that anger is just contrary to the wisdom of Torah. Why should it be? See, why should anger be contrary to the wisdom of Torah? The reason is, it's a very good reason, is because Torah, we said, is from the spiritual world. Anger is a physical quality. Why is anger a physical quality? The proof of the pudding is when someone becomes angry, what do we say? We say he lost his head. See? Somebody goes into a rage, a fit of anger, he says, excuse me, I lost my head. That's exactly what happened. He lost his head. He lost his seichel. He lost his seichel where the physical man ruled, not the spiritual man ruled. In general, when a person goes through a fit of anger, he is going through extreme change. And if chemically you would analyze him, you would see it. Okay. Blood pressure goes up. His heartbeat goes, his pulse beat comes faster. The adrenaline starts shooting through. There could be, we know some, but there's probably millions of chemical changes that go through his body when a person goes into a fit of rage. Physical changes. Now we've spoken before on, see, change, that has to do with the physical world. Physical, whenever there's rapid change, you should know that's physical. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no change. By Torah, there's no change. The principle of the Torahs are unchangeable. That's what we spoke about last week where it states, or 2 weeks ago, he should be Nemon. Nemon means a person is consistent. Okay? All change is subject to the physical world, that which is under the sun. Because the sun and the solar system is in a constant state of flux and change, always moving. But beyond that system, then there's no change. There's no time concept, there's no change. So anything that brings a person into a rapid fit of change, these are all physical elements. And this is what anger is. Fact is, there's nothing that can bring a person into such quick change as anger. In a second, he's angry and all of a sudden he gets red in the face and his blood pressure's up and his pulse beat is up and the adrenaline and so forth and so on. But even more than that, what's happening? He's losing his head. Some people go to the point where they get so angry that they do things which they do things, they'll break things, they'll harm people, they can kill people. Right? They'll do things. And later on they said, look, I did it in such a fit of rage, I didn't realize what I was doing. It's possible. See? I didn't realize what I was doing. And a person not realizing what he was doing, so what is that? That's a chereshet v'kotten. In the Gemara we have that there are three people who are not responsible for their actions. A kotten, a minor, a cheresh, that's a person who's deaf and dumb, and a sheiter, a person who's mentally retarded. Now, why are these three people not responsible for their actions? Because mentally, they are not responsible. A person can only be responsible for his body if it's under mental control. These three people don't have the mental control. Now, this is what happens to the balkas. This is what happens to the one who angers. He puts himself into a temporary state of a chereshet v'kotten, of a person who is out of control. His mental faculties no longer can control his body. But the Torah holds him responsible. The Torah doesn't agree necessarily with some frameworks of law that just because a person went into a fit of rage, we excuse him for what he does. Because it's his responsibility to control himself. But momentarily, he was impossible for him to control himself. He totally lost his head. Now, even if we don't get into such a rage like that, but you should know, every time we anger, though, to a degree we are in such a rage. To a degree we're losing control. See? When we do anger, we're losing control. What does it mean we're losing control? Who's the we? The intellect of the person is losing control over the person. So what's happening? The body's ruling. The body's ruling. That's the Adama, that's the earth of the person. That's just contrary to Torah. So how can a person come to Torah? The whole Torah is to elevate oneself from the earth to the level of the Torah. So therefore, kolakeis, whoever angers, forgets halochos. It was brought, we brought this, quoted this before, that this is why Hillel states that Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel had many, many disagreements. Many disagreements. And they were different natures. Beis Shammah was reactionaries. They didn't take any nonsense or monkey business. When it came to Torah, someone stepped on the honor of Torah or someone pushed them too far, and that was it, they reacted. And Beis Hillel was the type that nobody could ever get him angry, nobody could ever get him off balance. No one. They'd come in the Erev Shabbos when he was bathing before Shabbos, and they would dray him a cup with all kind of nonsense and this and that. They wouldn't get him off balance. A bas kol came down, a voice of heaven came down and said that the halacha and all of the disputes of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammah, the halacha is ke Beis Hillel. The halacha will be like Beis Hillel. Now this was not so simple because the Gemara says in many ways that Beis Shammah were greater chachomim, that Beis Shammah were wiser. See, it wasn't, this, you were talking here in big league. So why is the halacha like Beis Hillel? So the answer is because the halacha is the perfection between right and left. What is the halacha? See, the perfect balance between right and left. This person, perfect balance was Hillel. Because perfect balance is if a person doesn't get angry. The minute he's getting angry, you should know he's going off balance. If a shail is brought to a person, you could tell that. If a question is brought to a person, and that person is a little agitated or angry, he should know that he's not going to come la miti shaltere to the perfection of the law, or to the perfection of the council, of the etzah. And this is why the halacha was like Beis Hillel. Perfect balance. Because of the seichel of the intellect governing. And that's why we have to be very, very careful. So therefore it states that a person will become an erech ruach, that he who is zeichet to Torah lishma, so he will become so at such a level of Torah, well, that will rule. Not the fires of his body, but this will rule. So, erech ruach. Then it states, Meichel al albeine. Meichel al albeine, he becomes forgiving of insults. Now, the Gemara tells us on this. The Gemara tells us on this, what does it mean forgiving of insults? Thank you. Thank you. The Gemara tells us, what does it mean forgiving of insults? It brings a Talmud Chochem. Gemara says, Kol Talmud Chochem she'ena neiter v'neikim kinochash. She'ena Talmud Chochem. Talmud Chochem has to take revenge like a serpent. And if he doesn't, he's not a Talmud Chochem. He's not allowed to forgive insults. So what does it mean that he forgives insults? So the Gemara asks this. Gemara says, it's speaking where the honor of Torah is involved. If a Talmud Chochem is inadvertently insulted, or someone does something to the Talmud Chochem which is not nice, but let's say nobody knew he was a Talmud Chochem in that place, so it had nothing to do with honor of Torah, or it was something that had, for one reason or the other, had nothing to do with the honor of Torah, then a Talmud Chochem is supposed to immediately forgive. Meichel al Beine. He is supposed to be forever forgiving of insults. But if someone insults a Talmud Chochem where the honor of Torah is at stake, then he's not allowed to forgive on the insult, because look, he can, on his own honor he can waive, but he cannot waive the honor of Torah. Unless the person comes and appeases him and asks for forgiveness, apologizes and asks for forgiveness, then the Gemara says he must be meichel al Beine, he must forgive immediately. Now, this also is a quality of Torah. People who have natures, well, they'll never forgive. You did something to a person 25 years ago, he will never forget it and he will never forgive it. This is a quality opposite of Torah. Why? This is originness. Originness. And the Baal writes, originness is a physical quality. When a person is rigid and he's not flexible where he should be flexible, he's got his ways of doing things. Now, we're not speaking here of principles of Torah, say. But we're speaking here in Mili de Alma. When it comes to world things, he's got his way of doing things and he refuses to budge for anything. This is rigidness. Or he makes up his mind that this is what he's going to do. There's some people, you tell them, you tell them, why are you doing this? It's wrong. So he says, but I've made up my mind and this is what I'm going to do. But you tell him, change your mind. No, once I make up my mind, I don't change my mind. So you have people like that. I've already taken a decision and I don't change my mind, but it's a wrong decision. No, when I make up my mind, nobody can make me change it. See? This is rigidness. This rigidness, the Maharal writes, is a physical attribute. It's physical. It comes from the physical world. A person locks himself into a certain rut. He locks himself into a structure and he refuses to get out of it. And this is he locks himself in a physical frame. And this is a physical quality. You don't find this in the spiritual level. Spiritual level, a person seeks the truth. If what he decided was true, good. If what he decided is not true, then he changes it and you do what's good. The Gemara says, Misha ochal shum v'recha neidiv. So chesev v'yechal shum v'recha neidiv. Just because a person does something and it's bad, so he says, look, I've already did it, so therefore I should continue to do it. So you change. See? Actually, we find the whole concept of tshuva is this. The whole concept of tshuva is changing. Just because for so many years, for 100 years, you've acted one way, so therefore you continue to do it. So you change. So this attitude of being unchanging is an attitude of physical attributes, physical quality. And this is the same thing when a person is unforgiving. See, like we mentioned, there are individuals that Now, someone did this to me 10 years ago, and that's it. This is these are physical qualities. A person must be, when it comes to principles, there he has to be never changing. But when it comes to things that are not dependent on principles of truth, spiritual principles, there he has to be flexible, very flexible. And if not, and he refuses to change what change is called for, then this is a very physical quality. If it's a physical quality, it's contrary to Torah. So therefore, someone who is unchanging, he will not come to the wisdom of Torah. Someone who comes to the wisdom of Torah, so it states he will be a meichel al elbeinu. He will have the quality where he's ever forgiving. Now, we mentioned, even though a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to forgive so easily, that's where it has to do with Kovar HaTorah. But where it doesn't have to do with Kovar HaTorah, then he's supposed to constantly be ever forgiving. And even if it has to do with Kovar HaTorah, the honor of Torah, but if the person comes and apologizes and appeases him, then he has to be ever forgiven. So this is the trait of Meichel al elbeinu. And then it says, Umegaltei Umeramamtei al kol hamasim. Torah elevates a person. There is nothing higher in this world than Torah. Like we've quoted in the past, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Torah is more dear to me than not only than everything physical in this world, but even than all of my mitzvahs. The study of Torah is more dear to me than all of my mitzvahs. Why? Because mitzvahs still have a physical attachment, a limitation in this world. Mitzvahs can only be fulfilled in certain times with certain objects, so they come into this world. But the wisdom of Torah, that's higher. So the highest level that we find in this world is the wisdom of Torah. And like we mentioned, that the world was created, there were 6 days of labor. That's one level. Then the world was given a seventh day, which is Shabbos. So that's another level of sanctity. But Torah is the level of 8, like we count 7 weeks. And then in the first day of the 8th week, on the 50th day, is Shavuos, from Pesach to Shavuos. Because Torah is above all of these levels. Since Torah is the highest level that a person can aspire to, the wisdom of Torah, therefore if a person comes to this level, he is elevated amongst everything in this world. So therefore, kol alei meteir lishma, he who studies Torah for the sake of the study of Torah in itself, for the love of the Torah, and to rejoice in the Torah of Hashem, so it will be megaltim ramamtei, it will lift him up to its level, and he will be elevated amongst all of the levels. So these are the many qualities and attributes that a person merits when he studies Torah Lishma. We should be zecher to study Torah Lishma and to reach some of these levels.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.